Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
The title of our subject today is, I Believe God. And do you? A few months ago, we did a study out of Acts chapter 7, 27, where the Apostle Paul is in the storm-tossed ship. And at that time, we looked at the message that God gave to Paul when he said, I have given to you all that are on the ship. And our title on that study was, Give Me All in the Ship. You remember that? Some of you remember that. Today, we're going to look at the same story, but we're just going to take a look at another part of the conversation where the Apostle Paul just simply said, I believe God. And this is our opening take. The Apostle Paul stood in the midst of the storm-tossed ship and said, Sirs, be of good cheer, for I what? I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. The presence of a brave man in the hour of danger is a great comfort to those around him. So observe Paul in this story, so bold, so calm, in the midst of the brunt of the storm, cheering up the captain, cheering up his crew, cheering up the soldiers and the centurion and all the prisoners. Wherever Paul was, whatever the situation, we see his simple courage, his independent spirit, and his strength of mind received from who? From God himself. Thus he stands up and declares in the midst of a storm, cheer up. I believe God. So let's bring it home. At this time in Earth's history, we must make known the same thing. If we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior and desire to follow Him as our Lord, we must stand up in the different ways where God opens the doors and just simply say, I believe God. And if we are to do this, and I trust that you and I will, we must be strong ourselves. Take it as a good rule that nothing can come out of you that is not in you. We cannot render encouragement to others unless we have courage ourselves. We cannot give words of guidance in harmony with God's will, you know, these words of wisdom and truth, if those words of wisdom and truth are not in our hearts and in our minds. So let us take the time. What do you say? Let us take the time with the little bit of time we have left to pray as we've never prayed before, to study the sacred scriptures as we have never done before. And if we do that, surrendering to God day by day, God will bring us to the place where we will say in all situations, as Paul said, cheer up, I believe God. Will you please pray with me? Our Father in heaven, as we take time now to consider the sacred scriptures, we invite your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds to simple Bible truth. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So please open your Bibles with me to the 27th chapter of the book of Acts. The past couple weeks we have been in chapter 26, where we have seen the Apostle Paul standing before King Agrippa, his wife Bernice, Governor Festus, and all the other courtiers that were there. And we saw how the Apostle Paul was sharing his personal testimony and pointing all those who were there that day to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Today we go into Acts chapter 27, where Paul is now being taken to Rome as a prisoner. He had, you remember, appealed to Caesar, and to Caesar he went. And in the midst of that trip, we pick the story up with verse 14. A very strong wind starts to blow out on the north part of the Mediterranean Sea. Acts 27, starting with verse 14, the Bible says, "But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither the sun nor the stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was what? Then taken away. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not having loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of what? Of a good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I what? I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God. As the Apostle Paul stood in the midst of the battered ship, during this Euroclydon storm, it was clear to all that he had a certain strength that most of the others did not have. So question, where did he get that kind of strength where he could cheer people up in the midst of storm where from a human standpoint, it was pretty clear this thing was going down? Where did he get that kind of hope? Where did he get that kind of peace? Where did he get that kind of strength? And I believe the answer is simple. Where did he get it from? Yeah. Paul was strong. This is our first thought that we're going to lift from the story. Paul was strong because he believed God. It's plain and simple. Faith makes men strong. Not only in the head, that is, from an intellectual standpoint, but faith makes men strong where? In the heart as well. So when the angel of God showed up that night and told Paul God's message, he believed it with his whole mind and heart and soul. Faith made him strong from head to foot. He had no doubts. He had no what? He had no doubts. But doubting people are generally just headstrong. You know, it's the Thomas sort of people who obstinately declare that they will not believe that which does not match the proofs of their own choosing. And if you and I were to spend much time looking around society today, there's a fair bit of that today as well, isn't there? You don't have to look very long and watch, for example, some of the major news networks. their video clips on social issues or reading their articles and so on, you would see that doubting people who extol wokeism and skepticism are particularly strong in the upper region, namely in the head, with very little or no heartfelt trust in God. That sort of head strength implies real weakness, for obstinacy seldom goes with wisdom and common sense. Many such ones sneer out and marginalize believers in God as feeble folk, or accuse them of things which they are not guilty of, which, of course, is a clear sign that these so-called wise people are not very strong themselves. They think themselves the wisest of the wise, and they sit upon their stools of professorships in their universities across our country. But professing to be wise, they have become what? They have become fools. Do you know why? Because when a man leaves faith in God, he leaves strength and common sense. When he takes up the progressive views of society and pop culture, or even the progressive views in religion, which puts down the inspiration of God's word, he has lost the strength of his soul. But for the one who believes God, for the one who stands up and says just simply three words, "I believe God," for that one, there is a world of power that does a world of good and makes the world what? A better place. And the Apostle Paul believed God, and that increased his intellect, made him strong in the heart, and while the ship was floundering at sea, he then was able to give courage and exemplify hope. He was the mainstay of strength for all those on board. So our first thought in our study today that we've entitled, "I Believe God," our first thought is simply, Paul was strong because he believed God. And I want this kind of faith too. What about you? I need it now more than ever. What about you? Between now and the time when Jesus comes, difficult times are in front of us, and our complete trust will have to, it'll have to be a situation where it's going to be raw faith. Won't be able to depend on what we see, because the devil and his imps of darkness are going to be able to do what kind of things? Miracles. And you and I are going to have to depend solely on God and his word. We also notice that Paul's faith was faith in God. Similar to the idea that how did he get so strong? Well, he got strong because he believed God. From that, we also notice that Paul's faith was faith in God. He said, "I believe God." Nobody else in the ship could see much hope in God, with the exception of one or two that were with him, which would have been Aristarchus and Dr. Luke. All, except for them, all thought that God had done what? Had abandoned them, if indeed they thought of God at all. But there had that night stood by Paul's side an angel fresh from heaven. And how many of you are grateful that the Bible tells us we all have those angels? We call them today guardian angels, where Jesus told moms and dads back in his days when he blessed the children, he said, "Their angels in heaven always watch after them." So there that night, there was Paul's angel that stood by him, fresh from heaven itself, and Paul, bright with the divine presence and strengthened by the message from God, simply said, "I believe God. And in saying that, he was not only expressing his belief in God, while most of the others saw no hope in that, but he was also showing he believed God, which is saying more than, I believe in God. Now, I'm not trying to confuse things. The Apostle Paul, when you do the word study there, the Apostle Paul did not say, I believe in God. What did he say? I believed God. Now, in saying, I believe God, did he believe in God? Of course he did. But he was saying more than that. You see, there are those who say they believe in God, but their lives show something else. You remember Jesus said one day, not everyone who says to me what? Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who what? Does the will of my Father in heaven. So is it possible to say that you believe in God, but live another life? Yes. So while Paul did believe in God, he said more than that when he declared, I believe God. What he was saying is, I believe him. I believe his truthfulness. I believe his spoken word. I believe his mercy. I believe his power. I believe his love for me, and I believe his love for you. In a nutshell, he just said, I believe God. And if we were to update the lingo, it would be something like this. When it comes to God, I'm in. I'm there. I'm on it. Straight up, no backing down. I believe God. And this belief, what did it do to him on the inside? This belief made Paul calm, peaceful, and strong in the midst of storm. And made him a blessing of hope for all on that decrepit ship which was about to sink to the bottom of the Calypso deep. And if this church is going to be a blessing of hope in hard times for the great city of Holland, we as individual members must surrender to God daily and prayerfully and humbly ask for such faith that is able to stand up in any situation and openly declare, you know what? I believe God. A couple more things about this declaration. In believing God, he believed the message that God sent him. So what's the next thought? In believing God, he believed what? The message that God sent him. He said, I believe God that it shall be. It shall what? It shall be, even as it was told me. So when the angel came and gave him the message of God, the Apostle Paul drank in every word and was revived by it. God's word said, fear not, and Paul believed it. God's word said, you must be brought before Caesar, and Paul believed it. God's word said, I'm going to give to you everybody on this ship, and Paul what? Believed it. He felt certain that God, having promised it, was able to perform it even in the middle of a howling hurricane. The Apostle Paul clung to the word of God and was absolutely positive that every soul on board would be saved according to every word that God gave. God had given the preserving word, and that was good enough for him. And does God still sit on the throne today? God still sits on the throne today. His word is still as true as it has always been. The question for you and I today is simply this. Is God's word good enough for us? Is God's word good enough for me? Is God's word good enough for you? There was a time in my life a long time ago where I struggled with how I was going to view God's Word. I was taught in my undergrad program that God's Word was not fully inspired. And so I learned certain methods to determine the text that I was reading, what text was inspired and what text was not inspired. By the way, that view back then was called the historical critical method of biblical interpretation. That's what I was taught. And I began to use it. And somewhat it became a heady thing because I was thinking, you know what? I can, with my intellect and with these methods, I can determine over here what's true and over here what's not. And did that lead to anything good? No. And so I got to the place where I decided I was going to look at God's Word as I did when I was a kid, when I first started reading God's Word at the age of 10. Took vacation up in northwest Montana at a friend's place, hiked up into the mountains, found a stump that I sat on for about an hour and prayed and read from God's Word. I got off that stump and I set my Bible on it. I knelt down by the stump, put my left hand on the Bible, raised my right hand towards heaven, and I asked God's help. Amen? I asked God's help. I said, God, I'm going to take that everything in your word is fully inspired from Genesis 1 verse 1 to the last verse in Revelation chapter 22. And I asked God's help to stay with that. You know what King David said, Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a, what? Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Paul said in Hebrews 4, 12, the word of God is active and alive, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And if we apply the word, it goes deep into the soul, to the mind and the heart. In Ephesians 6, we're told we're called as Christians to take up the Christian armor. And you have all that armor that Paul mentions that the Romans wore. And there was one piece of equipment that was the offensive piece of equipment. And what was that? The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Satan came around to him. What did Jesus say? It is written. The devil came back for round number two. Maybe he's got a new move up his sleeve. Or he comes back for round two, and maybe Jesus has a new move up his sleeve, but does he? No. What does he do? Goes back to that which gives victory. It is written. It is written. God's word was good enough for Jesus. God's word was good enough for the Apostle Paul, and it's more than good enough for you and me today. And our last thought that we want to consider when it comes to what the Apostle Paul said there, since the Apostle Paul believed God, we see that he was not ashamed to say so. What's our last thought? Yeah. Since the Apostle Paul believed God, we see he was not ashamed to say so. He said openly to all those around him, can you see him? I mean, that ship is about to sink. They have thrown everything off the ship. It's waterlogged. It's lumbering along. The waves are hitting it. And he calls the captain of the ship, calls the administration, calls the centurion, calls the soldiers, calls all the prisoners together, and he openly declares, he would have to say it loud because the wind is howling, be of good cheer. Why? I believe God. And God sent his angel last night who stood beside me, and he said, we're going through, all of you. Not a hair is going to be lifted from your head. we're going through, but the ship is going down. He openly declared his simple belief. And that was not easy for him to do at that moment. Not everybody on that ship agreed with. Did everybody on the ship agree with Paul? No. It's not an easy thing to clearly and openly share your faith in the rough weather of pop culture or to the unbelieving sailors of society's vessels. Yet, this is what God has called us to do, and there are many anxious souls. Is that true? There are many out there in society who are wondering if there's any hope in this messed up world. And you, O Christian, you and I, we have many of the answers. So will we hold back the blessings and the promises of God? I hope not. Unfortunately, there are those who believe in God, but they don't like to say so. The devil tempts them to think that if they do something or say something in that direction, they will be looked at as odd or out of step with the norms of this world. When I was a young man, you know what I used to think if I would speak up for Jesus or the Bible? I used to think that I'd look like a dork. I don't know if we use that word today anymore. But we did back in the... Some of you, I can see some of you smiling. You know, back in the 60s and 70s, we would say that. You know what I have learned? It's better to be out of step with the norms of the world than out of step with God. And you know what else I've learned? Yeah. The world may think that we look a little dorkish. Well, the Bible says that we are a peculiar nation. That doesn't mean that we're weird. It just means that we are set aside, that God has filled us with His Spirit and made us distinctive and special in God's eyes and before the entire world. And another part of this, kind of on the other side of the coin, is when Christians are not really willing to speak up for God that much and are trying to mimic the world, let me tell you something, that's what a dork looks like. That's what I think. I was walking with some buddies at the high school that I attended. I went through the public school system through my elementary and junior high years, went to an academy in the state of Washington. And I, you know, lived in 16 different homes, kind of grew up in the low-income housing projects, what we called the hood. And I go onto this Christian campus, which I'm excited about being there, and I saw the Christians trying to mimic and walk and dress and talk like we did in the hood. And it looked stupid. Do you know why it looked stupid? Because they weren't good at it. Yeah, they looked kind of dorkish. That was my take on it. Well, true faith, even though the world says, might put true faith down, true faith, as we have seen in our text today, does not keep silent, even though others might think we're a little different. True faith does not swallow its own words and keep its thoughts to itself. But when the time comes and others are in difficulty and doubt, you know what true faith does? It stands up and it cheers all that they come in contact with the simple statement, I believe God. The Lord Jesus, whom I serve and whom I am, can make all the difference in the world. And as Christians in this great Advent movement, we ought to be ready at all times and at a moment's notice to throw down the gauntlet and come straight out with the blessings and the truths and the promises of God, this everlasting gospel that Christ has given us the commission to share to how many peoples and nations and kindreds and tribes, every one of them. We don't whisper these things. We don't hide it under a bushel. We let our lights shine. that others may see our good works and glorify who? Our Father in heaven. So if God has blessed you, has God blessed you today? Has God blessed and led in your life? Do you understand some of the grand truths from Scripture? If God has blessed you and you have learned of His promises, you have learned of His truths, do not hide in the hole of the ship or somewhere in the background. Come out and show yourselves and be an encouragement to others. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the privilege that we have had to consider your word this day. And Lord, we thank you for making it possible in your great plan on our behalf that we could trust you and simply stand up in our lives and say, I believe God. Oh Lord, thank you for making this possible. And we ask that you will keep these things in our hearts and in our minds, that we might be a blessing in this community as you have called us to be. And we thank you and praise you in the worthy and precious name of Jesus. And let all the church say, Amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org? You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Audagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.